morning for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you for the Word of God, the Holy Spirit that teaches us, and we pray now that we might learn some things that will be helpful and instructive to us, that we might be effective in our life as we leave here to serve and to glorify Him. We also pray for those who are here who do not have assurance of their eternal destination, that if they die, they will not positively go to heaven. We pray that they might understand the payment that Jesus Christ made for them, and eternal life is by simply receiving the payment that He made by faith, and they can know, too, that they pass from death to life, from hell to heaven. We pray they might come to full assurance even this morning, for it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We've seen so far this in the book, the sixth chapter of the book of Romans, that we have two questions here in the book. The first one is talking about habitual sin or continuous sin, as it says in the first verse. And the way we have victory over continuous sin in our life is by knowing something. And we saw there in the third verse that you've got to know that we have identified with Christ in His death. And then in the sixth verse, we know that our old man is crucified with Him. Now, the word baptism means to identify. And when you identify with Jesus Christ in His death, you recognize that your old sin nature, or you're bent to do that which is wrong, was nailed to the cross also. He not only paid for your personal sin, but He also paid for the old sin nature. He cancels this out. And we no longer have to be the slaves of the old sin nature any longer, but we can be free. Now, we are free in Jesus Christ. And we are free for a purpose. And that purpose is to serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We are free not to be a slave of sin, and not to be, as some people say, antinomian, or we don't believe in the law any longer. No, we're not free to go out and kick up our heels. You can do this, but you remember that there'll be some repercussions of this. Any Christian who sins actually saved will not be cast out of the family, but they will be disciplined. They will be spanked. They'll be scourged. And this is what the Lord's Supper is all about, to make us stop and to get back into fellowship with God so that we can serve the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we have to know that our old man, our bent to do wrong, was crucified with Jesus Christ also. And if he was crucified, then he's dead and we are no longer under his power, and we can claim this. Then we also know in the ninth verse, knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, died no more, death had no more dominion over him. We have a resurrected life. We don't have to just remember the resurrection on Easter Sunday. We can remember it every moment in our life, day by day. And this is the important thing, is to remember that we are raised with Christ. And we have a new life. We have a new spirit within us. We have a human spirit that's been made alive, and we're no longer dead. But now we can be controlled by the Holy Spirit, and we have the power within us to have victory over the old sin nature that's within our life. Well, after you know these three things, then the 11th verse says you reckon them. And reckon them means to count it as so, to apply what you know. Or if you want to put it in these terms, you can be identified with Jesus Christ in His death. That's what it means. If Christ died, I recognize that I've died up there too. You count it as if it were true. You apply this doctrine, this teaching, this thing that you've learned, that as Christ died, I actually died there with Him. And so death has, or sin has no more power over me. And then not only that, but we also yield. And that's found in the 13th verse. We yield our members, or we don't yield them unto sin, but we yield them unto God. And the word yield means to present. It means to present yourself unto Him. And as we present ourselves unto Him, then we have another thing that we do, and that is obey. And we'll see that this morning. Now look at the 14th verse. It says, sin shall not have dominion or power or reign over you, but because you're not under the law, but under the grace. Now, if we were under the law, we would have to keep the commandments of the law. But we're not under law. We're under grace. And grace means that God gives me what I don't deserve and what I don't earn. I deserve to be a slave of sin. I deserve to have this sin principle rule and reign in my life and to deal me misery. But I don't have to have that. I don't have to be defeated in my life. I don't have to be a slave of sin. We talk about being free, and we want to do as we please. Oh, let me tell you this. When you do what the old sin nature does, then you are being controlled by who and what. You see, Satan is the author of the old sin nature. That's where it all started from. It's rebellion against God. Satan rebelled against God, then we rebelled against God through the influence of Satan. And when we are under the power of the old sin nature, we are listening to Satan and we are doing what he wants us to do, and we become slaves of sin and slaves of Satan. Now, it just depends on who you want your master to be. Whether you want to have Satan or the Lord Jesus Christ to be your master. Whether you want somebody who's going to beat you and going to mistreat you and abuse you every possible way you can, or someone who loves you and wants the very best in your life, wants to take care of you, supply your needs, and do everything you need that's necessary for you. Now, that's the Lord Jesus. Now, Satan is going to tell you what? Oh, if you follow Jesus, you won't have any fun. If you follow Jesus, life will be miserable and be awful. But you just follow me, and boy, we'll have a good time. All right, you follow him and see what kind of time you have. Now, you can enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. And Satan will let you have a good time for a short period of time, but then you go to reaping, you see, what you've been sowing. Well, we don't have to be under the law. We can be under grace. We can be under what God wants to give us that we have not deserved and what we have not earned. See? Know ye not. Look at the 16th verse again. Now, we're talking about occasional sin. What about those little sins in your life? Don't you know that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, or for obedience, it should read, instead of to obey, it should read for obedience, his servants or his slaves ye are, whom ye obey. Whom ye obey, whether of sin, and this means the old sin nature, unto death, or of obedience unto righteousness. Now, we have the old sin nature. That word sin, that word of sin is talking about the old sin nature. Unto death, and this word death here has to do with temporal death. This is temporal death. This is temporarily out of fellowship with God. You see, we as Christians, and he's been talking to Christians, or he showed us in chapter 3, 4, and 5, how that we can be born again, how we can become saved, how we can become a child of God. And now he's talking in the 6th chapter about the Christian. And he's talking about here, he says, we are out of fellowship. We are dead, or we are temporarily separated from God by sin when we are controlled by him. Or we can be obedient and we can have produced righteousness. Now he's talking about production here. Talking about producing for God. Of obedience unto righteousness. Now, you not only have to know some things, you not only have to reckon these things to be so, you not only have to present yourself unto God, but then you've got to obey. You've got to do what God says. So to speak, you've got to put your car into gear. You want to put it in these terms. Now here we have a tremendous motor. We've got a tremendous motor, the Holy Spirit. He is our power. Now suppose I had sitting here in my garage or in my carport out here a Rolls Royce. And I go out there and I get in that car and I cut the key on and I crank it up and it's full of gas and oil and water. It's all ready to go. And I sit there and I just pump that accelerator, zoom, 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 and boy, it just goes. And I do like old Don Dudley's car did yesterday. He had it sitting there unusual, and he was blowing it out. Boy, something was going everywhere. The only problem, it wasn't in gear. Now, that's the way most Christians' lives are. They are sitting there and they've got this tremendous power. They've got a vehicle whereby they can move and they can go. And they've got their transmission in neutral and they're just burning it up. And they're not moving anywhere. Why? Because of sin in their life. They're temporally dead. They're out of fellowship with God. When they come and they take the communion service, and this is the reason why God told us to observe the communion service, to force the issue so that we would have to stop and we would have to examine ourselves and to see whether we had our transmission in gear or not and whether we were moving. Now you see, when you obey, you've got it in gear. Now, you can't obey until you're in fellowship. You've got the motor running. You see, you've got the connection hooked up. And you put it in gear, and friend, then you can move. And that's what obedience is all about, is obeying God. Now, do you know what sin really is? Basically, the definition of sin? I guess the Westminster Catechism gives the best definition. Any want of conformity, any want or lack of conformity to the will of God. Or we can put it like this, any rebellion against the will of God. Anytime you rebel against the known will of God, you are sinning. For instance, when the Bible says, as a newborn babe desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby, and you don't desire God's Word, you're rebelling against God, and you're sinning, and you're out of fellowship, you've got it in neutral. Now, if you love God's Word, you're going to study it. You're going to want to learn it. You're going to want to know it. And you'll not only come to hear it preached regularly, but you'll study it on your own. If you have a desire, now if you don't have a desire, you're out of fellowship with God. Now some of you ought to say, oh me. Because you know you don't have a desire. You really couldn't care a whole lot less. Because you haven't really opened the Bible and studied in a serious type way in weeks and months. Some of you. Now, you know who you are. I don't. I don't go to your room, and I don't sit there in your home, and I don't know what you do. But I know what I used to do. I know what I've done in the past. And I've talked to people, and I know how much they know about the Bible, and it's just about nothing. But if you've got a desire to know it, you're going to learn something somewhere. Some of you rarely show up for church, but when it's convenient, you know you come. The Bible says, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some of you. That's found in Hebrews. And when you don't assemble yourself together for the purpose of worship, fellowship, learning God's Word, you're out of fellowship. You've got to be neutral. When you have an opportunity to witness for the Lord Jesus Christ and you don't do it, friend, it's in neutral. You're just burning up the motor. But you're not doing anything. Well, now, you don't have to do this. You don't have to go round and round. So you don't have to sit still and accomplish nothing in life. You don't have to burn your life and throw it completely out the window as a Christian. Of course, if you're unsaved, that's a different problem. It's already gone. But don't you know that to whom you yield yourself servants for obedience, his servant or his slave you are, whom you obey, who you listen to, who you do what he says, whether of the old sin nature under being out of fellowship with God or of obedience, doing what he says. That's what it means to obey. You know what obey means. Even my 5-year-old knows what obey means. She better know. Well, some of you are just babes in Christ too, but you know what it means to obey. Now, it's one thing to know, and it's another thing to do. Notice the 17th verse, "But God be thanked." Actually, this should read, "But grace to God, that whereas ye were the slaves of sin, ye have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which was delivered to you." Now, you were the slaves of sin, but now there's been doctrine delivered to you. There's been a system that's been given to you. This word form has to do with system. Now, we've gone through that system in Romans 3, 4, and 5. Talking about the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And when you believe that, you are declared righteous. You have a righteousness from God. You are justified. Even though you are sinful and wicked, God declares you to be right. You're propitiated. God is propitiated. God is satisfied with Christ's death on the cross as a payment for your sin. And if God is satisfied, you become satisfied, then you have the righteousness of God. Now, he's already been talking about that. You were the slaves, but now you don't have to be any longer. See? You've obeyed. You've been freed initially. See? Being then made, notice the 18th verse, being then made free from sin. You see, we are free. And the only people in the world, I don't care where they live, who they happen to be, they are not free unless they are free in the Lord Jesus. Now, we talk about free America. You can go to any country you want to, but there's not going to be any freedom for you. You may not be behind bars, but you are still a slave unless you've been freed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Being then made free from sin, we become the slaves of righteousness. Now, like I say, it just depends on which servant you want, or who you want to be the slave of. Now, he says, I'm speaking as the man of men. I'm giving you a man's illustration about the slaves, you see. Because you can't understand the infirmity of your flesh. For ye, as ye have yielded your members, and this word yield again is present, you present your members servants unto uncleanness and to iniquity. Now, you have been presenting your members, your body, as unto servants unto uncleanness, sin in your life. Iniquity unto iniquity. Even so now, present your members servants unto righteousness, to righteousness unto holiness. Now, it used to be over here. Now, it ought to be over here. Used to be going one way, now it ought to be another way. For when ye are the servants or the slaves of sin, ye are free from righteousness. As long as you're over here a slave of sin, then you can't be producing righteousness. And how do you do this? The key word there is obedience. The 21st verse. For what fruit? What production? You see, fruit is that which is produced. A tree produces fruit. An apple tree, apples, you see. Now, we as Christians have fruit. What fruit have ye then in those things which ye are now ashamed? Now, there are certain things in our life that makes us ashamed. We were ashamed of those things. For the end of those things is death. This is operational death. Production. There's no production when you are out of fellowship, when you've got your gear in neutral, when you're not obeying. You haven't known, you haven't reckoned, you haven't presented, and then obeyed. See? That's the way it goes. Now, you obey what? Or maybe I should say who? The Holy Spirit. And this is the walking in the Spirit. This is what the Christian life is all about, is being controlled by the Holy Spirit. And this is what Paul is building up here. But he wants us to recognize where we are. All right? The 22nd verse. But now being made free from sin. You see, we have a license to what? To serve. We are free from sin. We are free from sin and become the servants of God. He have your fruit unto holiness. You see, your production is what? Holiness. This is setting, being set apart unto God. You see, the end, eternal life or everlasting life. See, this is our end. Our end is everlasting life. Everlasting fellowship with God. This is the end result, is everlasting fellowship. Well, now, if we're going to have it everlastingly, why not start today? Why wait till you die? If that's the best thing and that's what we're going to have for all of eternity, and we are, why not desire that now? If it's good enough for eternity, why isn't it good enough for time? Well, the way some of us think, it's not good enough for time. Because we have got our mind fixed on this business. It's, I'm going to have my good time. I'm going to have my fling now. I don't care whether it's sin or not. I'm going to do exactly like I want to do. I'm saved. I know I'm going to heaven when I die. And I want to live like I want to now. You'll have that forever life. Because forever life comes by faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And faith is merely taking God at His word. And it's not the amount of faith you have, it's the object of your faith. It's who you're trusting. Everybody has plenty of faith to be saved. Even an atheist has enough faith to be saved. In fact, he probably has more. Well, as far as faith is concerned, everybody's got the same amount, really. It just depends on what we are believing in. He's believing, he's taking his chances. He's believing that there is no God. So he's going to be all right. You see, he's just got his faith in the wrong thing. Because there is a God. And the object of your faith has got to be the right thing. There are people who have their faith in the baptism pool. Won't get it. You aren't saved because you're baptized in water. You see, that's the wrong object. There may be somebody who has their faith in the fact that if they join the Emmanuel Church, they'll go to heaven. That's wrong. That's the wrong object. The object is Christ's death, burial, and resurrection. That's the right object. That's putting your faith in the right thing. All right? When we have fruit unto holiness, we know what that end is. It's going to be everlasting life. Then he reverts back to a little gospel presentation here. For the wages of sin is death. What is wages? Payment. What you receive for your work. What you receive for what you do. The payment for sin is what? Death. This is spiritual death. Spiritually, being separated from God, which results in eternal death. If you are spiritually dead, you'll be eternally separated from God. But the gift of God is eternal life. Eternal life is having fellowship with God. And God wants to give everyone His gift of eternal life, eternal fellowship. But notice how it comes through Jesus Christ our Lord. Now, through who? Christ. Eternal life comes through one person. Not an organization, not a church, not an ordinance, but through faith in what Jesus Christ did for you. Have you ever trusted Him as your Savior? Have you ever believed that He died for you and paid for your sin? This is the object of your faith, is the Lord Jesus Christ. Is that who you have faith in? Are you trusting something or somebody else? If you're trusting anybody or anything besides the Lord Jesus Christ, friend, you're not saved. But if you're trusting Him and Him alone, you are. It's as simple as that. And our exhortation to you this morning, if you're sitting here and you've never made this decision, you'll do it right now, right where you're sitting. Well, maybe you have trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. Maybe you've been having your transmission in neutral because of sin in your life. And there's been no victory there. You haven't really learned how to live for the Lord yet. Well, the way you start is by taking the communion. Now, what I mean by taking the communion, you see, that before you can take the communion, you've got to examine yourself, or you've got to recognize the sin that's there as being sin. The rebellion that you have against God that's there, you recognize it as being rebellion against God. When you have rebelled against Him, and I'm just not going to read the Bible, I'm not going to study, I just don't care, you recognize this as being rebellion. And then you obey. You start desiring, and you start caring, and you start studying. If your attitude has been, well, it just doesn't really matter whether I hear God's Word taught, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven, it doesn't make a whole lot of difference. I'll just go when I feel like it, and when it's convenient, and when my friends are going. That's a rebellious attitude, because God says, do it whether your friends do or not. There's to meet together for fellowship and for study of God's Word and for worshiping the Lord Jesus Christ. He told us to do that. He told us to pray without ceasing, to pray as if we have a hacking cough, but you don't care anything about prayer, you don't believe it. That's rebellion against God. I don't really need God's help. I don't have to ask Him what I should do about this situation. I don't have to ask Him for help under this circumstance. That's rebellion against God. No wonder we have so many Christians in neutral, non-productive. No wonder so many people are going to hell without the Lord Jesus Christ, because we have so few Christians who are in gear and moving and obeying the Lord. Now, we're going to give you an opportunity this morning to get back into fellowship, to confess your sin to God, to examine yourself. And that's what we're going to do right now. In fact, we're going to bow our heads, each one of us, and examine our own lives. And you don't be worried about who's sitting next to you or who's not here this morning. You just remember that you have responsibility to God for one person, and that's you. And you examine your own self. Now, you remember, if you take the communion and you have not examined yourself, you're very liable for three things, one of three things. Either to become sick, or I should say weak, sickly, don't feel well, or become chronically ill if the sick or the doesn't feel well doesn't stop you, or Christian death. Now, this is what it says in 1 Corinthians 11th chapter. I'm just reading you the 30th verse. For this cause, because you have not examined yourself, you have not confessed your sin, many of you are weak, sickly, and many sleep. Now, we don't want this. We like to see Christians healthy and happy. I don't like to see anybody suffer. This is the reason why we preach God's Word Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and try to teach you enough so you can live and move efficiently and effectively for the Lord Jesus Christ, to give you the information you need to know how to serve Christ and be a slave of His and not a slave of the old sin nature. Now, you examine yourself now. And then we're going to offer the elements to remember what Jesus Christ did for us. Remember how He suffered. Remember how He died. Remember what He did on the cross. He paid for your sins so you wouldn't have to pay for them forever.